Shukadev Goswami speaking to the king who only had seven more days to live. And he gives him an essential instruction. He says, O king, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the base of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Perfect. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord, who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Lord, Sri Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, the devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotees can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied, because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. So there are now three types of spiritualists, or better to say, three types of people. They are free from material desires, like the great yogis, who are understanding how we are an eternal soul. Then there are those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, you know, materialists, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. This seems to refer to the devotees. Now, all the three get a recommendation. Now, you have to see, I think in one of the categories you will find yourself. So in this verse, Sri Shukadeva Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes, etc. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, his pastimes, and so on. And thus the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successively. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. According to Sri Shukadeva Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established way, concluded not only by him, but also by all the other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievement as fruitive workers or philosophers, or as devotees of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada continues this purpose by telling us about the yamas and niyamas, that is, the rules and regulations which help this process to become successful. It is, as we have discussed in our Gita course, and we need to avoid the 10 offenses of the holy name. The very nice description of the 10 offenses. And I remember that when there was an initiation in Paris, first initiation and second initiation, Srila Prabhupada had wanted that this text and purport is read during the initiation. It is a very important description of what to do and what not to do in relationship to the holy name. But because I feel it is long and it will be difficult for us to concentrate for so long on a text which is read. I suggest that you read this in your private reading time. Make a note, it's 2:1:11. So let me read again the Sanskrit and the translation of the sweet English language. Etanni vidyamananam ichadam makuto bayam yoginam api yoginam ripaninitam hare namanu kirtanam. O King, O devotees who are sitting here in Radhadesh in this temple, some of you fully awake, some of you half awake, please listen now. O King, and I might add, O devotees, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the vase of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, one of the great commentators of the Bhagavatam, has further elucidated on the text in the form of a question and answer session between guru and disciple. The disciple, Parikshit Maharaj, asked, "Tell me please, amongst the angas of the different ways of bhakti, which one is defined as the chief one and stands out like an emperor exerting power everywhere?" So he says there are so many processes of bhakti, just like there may be many ministers assembled in one place, but which one stands out like the emperor who's crowned and who has the dress and the ornament of the sovereign, the undisputed ruler? Which one stands out? Here's the answer. Amongst the various ways of bhakti, hearing about Krishna's Lushi, yes, chanting, and remembering or smaranam, meditating, are the three chief ones. This has been stated earlier in verse 5. There's a verse which says the same, so I will not read this yet. And then he says, amongst these three, hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, and remembering Krishna in meditation, chanting or kirtan is the chief. In kirtan, however, there are also different forms of kirtan. There is a nam kirtan, chanting the Lord's names. There's guna kirtan, chanting about his wonderful qualities, like that he's the perfect doctor who cures the ailments of the repeated birth and death problem. And there is also lila kirtan, or kirtan about his pastimes. And now, amongst all those different types of kirtan, there is this anu kirtan. That means chanting the names according to one's bhakti. That is the best. See, in bhakti, we all relate to different forms of Krishna. There may be those who worship Rama, or there may be those who worship with great bhakti Narasimhadev. So, whoever is the form which the bhakta worships, the kirtan of his names is the best of everything you can do. And not only the kirtan, but the continuous kirtan. In other words, there is no injunction that you should stop. You should be singing the holy name throughout the day, either by directly singing the holy name out loud, like we do when we assemble the instruments, or singing the holy name in your mind. That should be, that is the goal. This is defined by the previous acharyas or great teachers, not just by me, says Shukadeva Goswami. Therefore, there's really no need of further proof. It is an established truth. My dear devotees, we have each last weekend of the month of January. It's usually a time there when it's cold and snow and icy, and it is a time of, you know, the life energy is a little slow. During this time we have 2 days of continuous chanting here in Radhadesh. This event is called the Radhadesh Mellows, and I highly recommend it to all of you who take either the kirtan course or who are here with Janmashtami and Mahaprabhu's Japa retreat. I recommend this event at the last weekend of January to all of you, because there you can actually practice what is stated here in this verse. You can practice continuous chanting. What happens as you sit for a few hours in the kirtan? I don't think every one of us chants for 12 hours. We chant for some time, then go and take our meals, and maybe talk to the friends who have come from all over Europe. And then we go again with our friends into the kirtan. So we might chant all together 5 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours, some of us 10 hours. But so we sing more than on usual days. What happens to many of those who attend this event is that after chanting so much, the chanting continues to sing in the mind, and even when they wake up in the morning, they find out, oh, I have, it has sung throughout the night. They don't say, I have sung. They say, it has continued, like when we were not so developed in technology, there were these endless tapes, you know, they would run, they would not stop when they had reached the end, but they would somehow come back to the beginning. These were the endless tapes. So the Hare Krishna mantra is really supposed to become an endless tape. Something which you are always mindful of. And thus it awakens your consciousness to Krishna consciousness, because you are always continuously on this level. And don't leave it again. This is the way of this is established by the great authorities, and it works. if you take it serious. When you are in the bathroom, you sing. When you are on your way to the temple, you sing. When you are on your way from the temple to your working place, you sing. When you are in your working place, and you talk with your boss, and he has the same problem as he always had. The magic boss, he says, you're not doing enough. You say, yes, yes, and inside your mind you go, it doesn't mean you are negligent with your duties, but it is continuing. You don't think it is important to leave the level of Krishna consciousness. You think it is more important to stay on this level and then try to do your prescribed things from that level. So, obviously, my dear devotees, this, to do this, requires some taste in the process. If you dislike the process, or if you feel bored, or if you think too much, then this will take a long time before it happens. And in this 15th chapter, of the book, Sri Harinam Chintamani, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who sits with Haridas Thakur under this tree, but it's reached the perfection, this perfected tree, a self-realized tree, believe it or not. He sits there and he asks, how do we attain the taste in the chanting of the holy name? I think you will agree with me. This is a very, very necessary and good question, because it is ruchi, or the taste, which will bring us to what is actually called in transcendental philosophy rasa. Rasa means a deep, deep, abiding, ecstatic feeling in your relationship with Krishna. But you have to first of all awaken to taste. The great devotees have always told the disciples, if you want to find me, go and find me in the kingdom of taste. We will say to our friend, if you want to find me, if you want to, please come into the smoking room of the Brussels airport. I'm saying something which is foolish, so then you wake up. You say, if you want to find me, I'm today in this park so-and-so, where there's fresh breezes, and I'm reading a good spiritual book there, then you can find me. So the devotees will tell the other, if you want to find me, come to me to the kingdom of joy, of taste in Krishna consciousness. There you can find me. So the how do we come to this kingdom? How do we come to this place in our life where we actually perform our spiritual practice not just as a sadhana, like someone who puts his bandage on his broken limbs so that he can somehow exist, you know. But how to do it with the taste? Haridas Thakur offers two paths in this work, and I will today talk only on this one path, because the other path is a path where he says, if you don't do this absolutely properly, that is the path of meditation, you will not attain perfection after billions of years. So we can't really, because it's such a difficult process, we will not talk about this here, for the time, and also I think he would responsibility of saying I can't do this. So let us talk about the more easier process, which brings us to the result very quickly, the process of kirtanam. There is a certain sequence which you need to know if you want to chant the holy names with full taste, ultimately in a way that you are aware of your unique relationship with Krishna. Haridas Thakur says, first one must give up committing the 10 offenses. And then he says it's good if you avoid bad association and reside in a place where you're free from this bad association. And he says that if you can just learn to avoid these 10 offenses against the holy name and chant in a place where you are not disturbed, after very few days Lord Krishna will become merciful and appear in this handsome darkish form before you. You might ask, but I'm looking at the altar, Lord Gopinath is very white, he doesn't even have a little taint of the sun, you know, it's so white. Why do you say Krishna has a darkish form? My dear devotees, Gopinath is like this because he thinks of Srimati Radharani, who's very fair. But he is also the Lord of the Gopis, and he is in a very transcendental, dark way. The transcendental color dark is related to the emotion of deep love. He has actually the color of deep love, because we can't yet see this spiritual love. We see Gopinath in the way our eyes see him. But you can say he's fair because he is thinking of Radharani, but he is also dark because he's full of the highest emblem of love. But that is spiritual. And unless our eyes also become filled with love, it is very difficult to see this spiritual truth. But in the meantime, we look at Gopinath in this way, and as we see him. And as we see with loving eyes, more and more loving eyes, we see more and more aspects of his wonderful personality. So, let me now explain step by step, like we are accustomed to do it in Germany and in Europe. We are, after all, not. We need it very clear. You said something. You hinted something. Let me now get it straight. I have my notebook here, Sachinanda Swami. I'm fully awake. Don't underestimate my power of grasping complex spiritual subjects. Just tell it to us. Okay, I will now talk about a devotee who may not know much beyond the truth that Lord Krishna is not different from his holy name. He accepts that on faith. Okay, the great acharyas tell me that in the spiritual dimension, things are different than in the material dimension. the material dimension, and person is always different from the name. I experienced this yesterday. I was walking in the forest, and I wanted to see this. No, I called the name Manu in the forest. But Manu was not there. He was not coming to the forest. And later I looked at him with questioning eyes. Did you notice that when I was in the forest, I was calling your name? And Manu said, no. Because he's different from his name. The young man whom we give a name, Manu, and then there's a name, the name, and the two are really only always different. In the spiritual world, you don't find these differentiations between soul and body, for instance. There's no difference between locations, between personality and the name. For instance, there, the name water is identical with water. You can just drink by saying water. You're no thirst any longer. It is a very, very, very different place than the place of separation, where everything is always so separated. That's why we say in this world, people always will remain separated from each other. The perfect ideal of love, the oneness, can be only fulfilled really in the spiritual world, the full satisfaction without even a tinge of separation and misunderstanding is only there in the spiritual world. It's a different world than this one. So someone who has a little faith, who hears this from great souls, and who also sees, like, my faith in the chanting came really, I heard this, but then one time I watched my spiritual master in Sri Dharmayapur chant my dear devotees. He actually left the material consciousness and he went on a spiritual level where he felt deep, deep ecstasies. So much so that there were tears of love coming from his eyes, and the atmosphere changed in such a way that all of us felt almost, like I talked with a few devotees afterward, the only way we could express it in our human language was that we felt just a divine light spread through the temple room, not like a sunlight, but a different type of light, which was engulfing us and capturing our souls and our emotions, that we really felt very different. And because we felt so different and we were all new to the world of ecstasy, we went to our spiritual master afterwards. We asked Srila Prabhupada, when you do this, what should we do? Should we take a, should we leave the little room and take a shower, for instance? Or what is the appropriate thing for us to do when you go on this? Prabhupada said, just chant Hare Krishna. And that's what we did for Venice. It had, he tried to hide this as much as he could. He would never believe in displaying high states of consciousness in a public assembly. I believe he thought that people will imitate this who are not there, who are not on this level, and really make something like a fake, or they will make a clownery out of spiritual states, like it is sometimes done in spiritual movements. So he really kept it to himself, but sometimes it was not possible. I saw this two times in my life, but I got brothers two sadhus more often. And he was in a different place, and he took us somehow with him to at least the threshold of this place. So when I saw this, it gave me faith that Srila Prabhupada really appreciates the holy name in a much deeper and quantitatively more much more way than me. And he will be with Krishna by any chance. So I have faith. Yes, it's not just birds, but he is a living example who shows that chanting means to associate with Krishna directly, because the name and the personality who's named are non-different on the spiritual platform. There is no such difference. But how do we approach the level of realized chanting? This is the question. Are you interested in this question, or would you like to better sleep now and wake up when we talk about pizzas and such things? Some of you look at me, oh, he caught me again. Why does he always see everything? He should look at his text and not at me. My dear devotees, this is important. Don't turn your face to brother sleep when it becomes important for your spiritual advancement. This is not good. How will you ever leave the neophyte platform? Maybe you think, no, yes, there are higher states, but I won't make it. I'm also quite satisfied. I have enough to eat, and I have my hours of sleep. But what more do I want? I will give you a reason why you should listen. Only when you feel love for Krishna will your hankering for other things stop. Your hankering for other things will not make you happy. Only when you are in Krishna consciousness will you be satisfied. So this is important knowledge. So, good. Slushare. Slusho. Slushai. Slushai is the word. I can say it in Russian also if you want. I can say it in German. I have many ways to capture your attention. But before I will say this, because some of you are sleeping and you need some time to wake up, you see, I'm not relenting on this. I will also call you by your name when you fall asleep. Internet, there will be a scandal all of a sudden. Hare Krishna. Enough is enough. This process, which we will hear in a minute, is the process of revelation. And an example is given how this revelation is taking place. It is the example which is given is that of a rose. In the beginning, when see a rose, we have a beautiful rose garden, by the way, here in Radhadesh, which I request you to visit. It's an example of good craftsmanship. It is nicely designed. There's a beautiful different types of roses. I counted yesterday 4 types of roses. It took a lot of time to make this rose garden. Please watch it as you are here in Radhadesh. And what you will find there is different roses in different states of development. There is the rose in the budding form. Budding is a small thing. A pupolnyak, I think. Pupolnyak. Or how do we say it?
Something.
What?
You said it right. Pupolnyak.
Pupolnyak, yes. It's a pupolnyak. Or a bud. Or in German, eine Knospe. German has also its linguistic beauty. So it is a Knospet. But when the rose is in that state, we can't yet see all of the rose. We can't, for instance, see the colors. It is greenish in the outside. Only when it opens, it will reveal its beautiful colors and its fragrance. You can put a bud in your nose and you won't get the taste. So just like the rose has different states of blossoming, and capturing your fascination, the holy name also has different states. In the beginning, when it's a bud, you can only have the name Krishna or Hare Krishna. You only have the name. And there is a limited attraction to this budding state. That's why some of us fall asleep when we chant the holy name, because our attraction, fascination is not captured by what we have at our stage. That is a very minimal realization of the holy name. And because of the lack of attraction, we who are born to taste something, we are born to taste nectar actually, we go somewhere else and look for surrogates. Surrogates means replacement. We look, we go into dreamland. Everything, what is there for breakfast? We think of this, or we think of wealth. This much money I have now. Soon I will get some more money. This will also be very good. Or we think of, when we are a woman, we think of muscular men who smell like musk. And then we are a man, we think of ladies who smell like jasmine flowers. I have to capture your attention, otherwise you will fall asleep. I'm sorry for this, but I really want that you listen. So, we go to cheap replacements if we only have the bud. So therefore, all acharyas, all teachers of the holy name want to tell us, you need to know how your practice comes from the budding state where you really do not get much out of it. You don't get any taste from a rosebud. No one would go through the trouble of making a rose garden if there would be only buds. No? Isn't it, Ramananda? You are an expert in permaculture. We want that comes out, the rose comes out, and we feel worried. What is... Maybe we should put some loudspeaker there and let the rose hear some kirtan, then it maybe comes out better. We think of different compost tricks. Maybe I put such and such compost there, and it will work. So in the same way, as a gardener wants that his rose comes from the budding state to the next day, you should and be very interested to see that the chanting, that the holy name will reveal more of itself. The first thing which he will reveal is I have decided to only continue to talk. Each one of you gives me a thing of God. Then I will give that to Hridaya Chaitanya, and then he will easily build the Vietnam house. No, it's not free. When the holy name begins to blossom a little bit, the bud opens a little bit, you will actually, while you chant, have the feeling Krishna is on your tongue. Or Krishna is nearby, if not on the tongue, he's nearby. You will, God, I'm not alone here. It's not just a name. I can feel the presence of the Lord. And you feel, oh my God, this is something. This is the first thing which happened. And many devotees have had, and I believe some of you even have experienced this in a roundabout form, which I will talk about a little later. This will happen when you make a conscious effort to avoid the 10 offenses against chanting the holy name. These 10 offenses will be taught to you in detail during the Kirtan course. I hope I have to instruct my other teachers that they will do this, because that is something we have discussed, that the root of all offenses, that is, we should avoid inattention. We have learned some things how to do this. Because we can't do everything, we can't cover the whole tree of the offenses. Let's go to the root, cut the root, and then the tree of offenses will fall. Was our intention. But as you continue to chant, being very careful to not offend Vaishnavas, for instance. That's a common thing in communities, that people get on each other's nerves, and then they call the person, you butt. But it's a small thing, no, it can mean something else. The deep but, you know, meaning you have still potential to develop one, or even other things we call, that we need to avoid. So then, if the chanter, however, is not yet able to see in his mind's eye the beautiful form of Krishna, he can do something. He can go to the temple and, while he meditates, fix his gaze at the deities. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described it. As the devotee chants the holy name while looking at Krishna, or when you are at home, a beautiful painting of Krishna, and so on, you will also begin to feel that somehow, while you chant, you are in Krishna's presence. My exalted spiritual master has often recommended devotees who were in deep spiritual crises to go and chant before the deity of Krishna. Because he had faith, when the devotees would chant the holy name and look at the form of Krishna, they would feel God's presence in their life. And from that perspective of understanding, I'm not separated from my Lord. He's there. I can call him. I can feel he's there. They would be able to solve the problems of material life. They're more easy. So then, after this state, but I will not go much further now, because I know some of you will again doze off. What you will see after this form, feeling Krishna's presence when you chant, all of a sudden, you go to the next level, and you will actually meditate about some of Krishna's qualities, to make it very, very down to earth. You will understand, Krishna is so merciful to me. He's so compassionate to me. He is so loving. He's a loving God. You will somehow become aware of it. And this awareness will give you great joy and great confidence in your spirituality. You will know, I'm not alone. The Lord is caring for me. He has made this arrangement. And my dear devotees, more than that, you will all of a sudden see how so many things are given to you by Krishna. You will see what Kadava Kanada Maharaj calls very nicely the hands of the Lord. He has very nicely said, it is not always easy to see the face. It's not easy to see the face of the Lord. But what you see is the arrangements He makes in your life. And this is the hands of the Lord. He moves things in a way that you can see. This was not an accident. That was Krishna's arrangement. I think some idea of this we all have, no? Yeah. Yes. Oh, God. But this is just the beginning, my dear devotees. It's just the beginning. What the text speaks about is that you actually understand the name and the form are identical, and you wake up to this realization, and the qualities of Krishna are identical with the name. In other words, you will walk through the rose garden of Krishna's form where you get the smell. Now we smell the shons, that is the ghee and the cumin seeds. Actually, no one should smell it. At first, the Gopinath should smell this, but it is so much in the room that who can ignore it? You will actually, just like you smell now as fragrance, you will become aware of Krishna's qualities. And this gives you a lot of confidence. Nothing can shake the shanta any longer. You feel, I am on a boat now, a safe boat which carries me across the ocean of birth and death. Now, this process is obviously dependent on the mercy of the Holy Name. It's the Holy Name who will say, it's Krishna in the form of the Holy Name who will plead. This devotee, Dinadaya, is such a good devotee. He does such excellent service. He tries his best. He may not be perfect in all aspects of his spiritual life, but I choose now to bestow my mercy on this soul so that he feels encouraged to move forward. And the way this happens is that it is described, something comes from the heart of the Lord, which then touches the heart of his devotee. It's the scriptures describe it like a ray of light. You know, we only know an emotion. Emotion sometimes comes from our heart towards a person. Like a little child, we see the child is so nicely trying. Like yesterday, I saw a little baby girl trying to sing. With a big mouth, yeah, you can only see the mouth of the little child. No eyes, no nose, just a mouth. And I felt immediately, wow, a great soul, you know. And I felt some sympathy from my heart coming to the child. So Krishna, when he feels towards you that you are trying your best, his pleasure potency will combine with the essence of his Samvit Shakti, that is his all-knowing potency, will come in the form, will combine, and this comes like a ray of light. It goes into your heart, and your heart will open and blossom like anything. And it will purify our heart in such a way. Bhakti, in other words, will come in your heart. Bhakti as a state, as a devotion, you know, it will come and open your heart. Oh, and you will feel, Oh Krishna, now I feel so inclined towards you. And this comes. It is there in a Chintamani. Now when the holy names of mercy to the jiva shines forth, the Lord's pleasure potency, Dharini Shakti, combined with the essence of his Sambit Shakti, in the form of Bhakti descends, making the holy name blossom fully in your heart. The holy name blossoms. Let us summarize to make it very simple. To chant continuously, like it is said here in the Bhagavata, we will need to chant with taste. And the way to chant with taste is that you first avoid the no-nos, the 10 offenses, which cloud the holy name with clouds so that you cannot see anything or understand or recognize anything. And that, so if you try to avoid the chanting of the 10 offenses, the clouds will go and you will have from the holy name something like a but. You need to go further. As you chant with faith that Lord Krishna and his holy name are not different, and with some knowledge about your Krishna and your relationship, it's called Sambandha, then the holy name will open further, and you will see the wonders of the holy name, how you will understand the qualities of Krishna, see the name, until before your eyes you will not need to go any longer to your laptop to see a movie, because there is a constant realization of Krishna's transcendental pastimes before you. Then Lord Chaitanya heard all this so clearly explained by Haridas Thakur and said, Haridas, you helped me in completing my mission. That is why I have heard from your mouth the truth of the holy name. And then Lord Chaitanya said, by the power of Lord Krishna's mercy, one attains the Chintamani jewel of the name, a jewel that comes from the ocean of nectar. A person like all of you who finds that jewel becomes saintly. His every desire is fulfilled. This was here in the Bhagavata. Even, you know, if you have a desire, I need some pizza, it will come and came yesterday to me. His life is a successful life, and he is always filled with bliss. If you can find this jewel, with ecstatic love, he worships Lord Krishna. This is the completion of the Haridam Chaitamani, 15th chapter. It's a very good book, it's a very solid book, very good instruction. I wish all of you that you will experience these things. And there's a step-by-step process. Please become aware of the of what you should not do and what you should do. This is nicely explained in the book which we have distributed during the course, Sri Harinam Chintamani. In the workshop, I will tell you exactly where you can find it in your book, and then you can read it. I want to end the class here. I thank you very much for being with us. Please excuse me that I was at the end of the lecture, no, at the middle of the lecture, becoming a little nasty by making comments about your ability to stay awake in the class. This was only to help you that you won't miss that nectarian part. It was, I felt, in your interest. Good. Hare Krishna. So, we have time, a little time, just 10 minutes for a few questions, if there are any. Yes, your name again?
Sunilji.
Let's see, other questions are there? Not at this moment. Yes, Sunil, ask you.
When we were giving class, you spoke about the tree of offences, and you said if you cut inattentiveness, then all the others would fall. How does that work, and what about the other offences?
Yes, that's a very good question. See, when you start to give attention to Krishna, something wonderful has happened in your spiritual life. Please understand the logic. The moment you give attention to the holy name, it means you turn to Krishna. I have seen this when a devotee is in trouble, has made mistakes, and so on. He says, now I need to check. He goes to his room, and he goes up. He even switches off his telephone, believe it or not. Examples of this in our movement. And then he starts to chant, I really need shelter now. I think we all know this. It all has happened that we came to a turning point where we said, I can't deal with this any longer. My wife has almost left me. Only 1 more minute and she will pack her things, and what if she takes the babies? I really need to now take shelter in Krishna. I'm saying something modern. You know, you have to take a little modern, you have to talk. Or you have something, I have so much trouble, I'm so misunderstood by these devotees. No one can help me now, Krishna help me. This is a good time. You come to a turning point where you turn to Krishna. And the way devotees do this is by prayer and by chanting. No? So then as you turn to Krishna, you become more Krishna conscious. So here, as you give your attention to Krishna, you become more Krishna conscious. And then you don't want to offend devotees. Haridas Thakur says such a person carefully avoids blaspheming saintly devotees. With a clear mind, he understands that Lord Vishnu is the supreme truth. He understands, I don't need devatas. I don't need anyone else. I don't even need the palace. And he knows that the spiritual master that gives the holy name and the scriptures that describe the holy name are the most exalted spiritual masters and scriptures. In other words, he doesn't want to disobey the instructions of the spiritual master and scripture, because he knows this person, the holy name, is good. Those who give the holy name, they are super good. In his holy name, in his heart, he knows that the holy name is pure and spiritual, and therefore he carefully renounces the desire for sin. He says, I can't do this. I can't chant and then go and do some nonsense. He feels chanting is so good, Krishna is so good. I can't let him down like this. Then he goes out and preaches the glories of the pure holy name only to faithful persons. He does not believe in ordinary rituals any longer. He surrenders to the holy name and attentively meditates on the holy name. These were positive attitudes which a person who turns to Krishna develops, and in this way he does not think about it. It's not a problem for him to avoid offenses. He automatically doesn't have the desire to commit offenses, which all come really from this ahamamedi, this turning away from Krishna and living in our own little world where there is either no place for Krishna or only very little ritual place. Yes, we have an apartment and about 20 square centimeters are for him. We have a date here. Yeah.
That's fine, Maharaj, thank you. Is that in our book as well?
Everything is in your book. Yes, I'm only talking on the book. Yes. It's, if you want to find it, because you are beautiful. Yeah. It is in at the very end of chapter 13. Very end of chapter 13. It should be there. It's there. I have a copy of the book which I want to. It would be nice if this is. I couldn't find it in the book. So, a very important book. It's a verse by verse translation of Harina Chitnamani, which has been published in our movement. Very nice. Should be at the end. Any other question? No, then everything is clear. Or you may be afraid of me now because I'm so much fired up. I'm cooling down already. I've done my job. See, I get prasadam, I get to eat only if I give lectures. And if I don't do my job very well, I have to starve. So therefore, in my own interest, I have to be a little fired up about these subjects. Good. I wish you all a wonderful day and Radha Desh. Please focus on your different reasons why you're here, on the Japa course and on the Kirtan course. Two things at the same time is really picking up. Do your services and you're cordially invited at 5 o'clock. This temple will talk. Place where there is continuous kirtan going on. 5 o'clock we start here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Gaura Nitai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi ki jai,
Gaura Nanda Maharaj ki jai.